Welcome to the Now Believe podcast, Gary Oates' testimony and the ministry of angels.
Well, Dom, every time I see you, you grow 3 inches. He does. Have you noticed that? It's like every time I don't know, maybe I'm shrinking. I don't know what it is. But it's great to be here. We love coming to England. We were just over in Bury St. Edmunds for this past week ministering. Had an amazing time. God ministered to so many people in special ways. And I know tonight's going to be a special time for each one of you here. I want to thank Dom for putting this on. Dom is an amazing guy. I want to tell you a little story about Tom, okay? He came to our mentoring program in Moravian Falls a couple of years ago, and he was going through kind of a rocky season in his life, and during his time there, he was quite a challenge to work with, to be honest with you. But that's in a good way, see, because he was asking hard questions. He was asking every kind of question you can think of. It was a very positive thing. Well, but he came to the place of totally giving up on the ministry, giving up on all self-effort. He finally came to a place of crying out to God on his face. Something had to give. And what had to give was the old nature. That had to go. And the money wasn't coming in for him. Everything was just falling apart at the seams. So he finally came to that place of giving up on everything. And to the place where he didn't want anything but just more of God. That's all that mattered. And he had a real encounter with the Lord. And the result of that was total, absolute surrender every area. Shortly after that, money started coming in. Everything started changing. He came back here. God has been blessing him just in incredible ways. I encourage you to get involved with him. I highly endorse his ministry. He's grown like a weed, not only physically, but spiritually as well. I encourage you to support him through your time, your energy, and your money. Because it's worth it. He's doing these conferences. He's taking trips. I encourage you to go with him on a trip. He's been to India twice. Is that right?
Four times now.
Four times?
Yeah, four times. But two major big trips.
Two major big trips. Okay. Yeah. And now to Kenya.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I encourage you to go with him. It's worth it. Your life will be radically changed. He learned how to do these ministry trips, didn't he? Didn't you?
Well, I learned following actually you
doing. Well, he went with us, a long time ago on some trips. And anyway, so it's just great to see how God's been using Dom and Tim. Where's Tim? Where'd Tim go?
Getting some more chairs.
He's getting more chairs. Oh, he's doing something. He's a real servant, isn't he? Yeah. Want to thank Tim for... want to thank you for opening up your father's house for us tonight. Tim's an amazing guy, too. I guess he's been working with Dom on a lot of this, and he's been with us on a couple of trips, and came to Moravian Falls for one of our transformation summits, and just a real, real special guy. And Jennifer over here, too. Jennifer just got back from Moravian Falls a week ago. Is that right? Just over a week ago. Yeah. She was with us at a transformation summit, and she's just really amazing as well. Very prophetic. Jonathan, where's Jonathan? Back there. Jonathan, stand up. Jonathan was with us a year ago in October for a transformation summit in Moravian Falls. Anybody else here that's been with us for any of those events? I don't want to miss anybody. Anyway, we'd sure love to have you all come join us. Y'all come to Moravian Falls and enjoy a transformation summit. We do weekend events as well. But I know God has something special for you tonight. That's why you're here. It's a divine appointment. I think God's going to do incredible things in your life. And my prayer is that when you leave here tonight, that you are changed from the way you came in this place. That's my prayer, and I believe that's what's going to happen. Dom asked me to share some parts of my testimony, and we're going to share a little about that and some of the ministry of angels. And I want to pray with you for impartation, that your eyes be opened to see in the realm of the Spirit, that you begin to partake of the supernatural realm that's available to every one of us. We were ministering in Melbourne, Australia, and there's a tall man, about as tall as Dom, actually. And he was actually over about where Dom is. He was kind of in a horseshoe-shaped thing. It was a big church, though. He was over here on the side. And everybody noticed this man because he was so tall. And he was standing there like this. It looked like he was conducting an orchestra. And a little while later, he came up and he testified. And he said, some of you may have seen me doing my hands like that. He said, that's happened before, but I didn't know what that was. And he said, I've been crying out to God that he would open my eyes to see angels. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, my hands started going through all of those motions. My eyes were closed. And he said he just had that impression to open his eyes. And he opened his eyes, and he saw a big angel standing right in front of him, dancing with him. And the angel said, welcome to my world. And the angels are saying the same thing to every one of us tonight. They're saying, welcome to their world, to the world of the Spirit. See, you can all participate in this. It's for the whole body of Christ. It's to assist you in fulfilling the call of God on your life and walking in the destiny that God has specifically for you. Several years ago, I was preparing to go to Brazil on a ministry trip. I did not want to go. My life was falling apart. I was pastoring a church. People were leaving the church because they were mad at us. It was various circumstances, jobs and family, different reasons. And I was at a real low point. I didn't want to go. And I said, God, I can't go. I don't even want to go. But I felt impressed that I should. And so I cried out to God. I said, God, okay, I'll go. But I need ministry. If you can use me to minister to other people, that's great. But I need ministry on this trip. God, I ask you to touch my life. And my prayer was before I went that God would open my eyes to see things from his perspective rather than my own. Because the way I saw things, it was not good. I said, God, would you open my eyes to see from your perspective? Open my eyes to see the ministry of angels. Open my eyes to see beyond this natural, physical realm into the supernatural realm. That was my heart's cry. Went to Brazil. We were on a bus between two cities. I was with Randy Clark. Randy was interviewing a man named Davi Silva, who's a fabulous worship leader there in Brazil. Davi is one who has had many encounters with the Lord, spends half of his time in heaven. He's gone to the throne room many times. He sees angels everywhere all the time. And it's just the most amazing guy. Well, Randy was asking him a lot of questions about this. Well, I mean, I was sitting across the aisle on the bus, and I was listening to every word of this. And Davi was telling all these different experiences that he had had. And so as soon as they got through, I tapped Davi on the shoulder, and I did like this. You know, that's what I want. That's what I want. Well, he didn't speak English at the time very well at all, but he knew what I meant. You know, pray for me. That's what I want. I want to be able to see this stuff. And so he reached his hand across the aisle of the bus and he put it on my hand. My hand just started tingling. There was an impartation that happened. I can't really explain what all happened at that moment. When I got up to get off the bus to go in to eat, the presence of God was so strong on me, I could hardly even stand up. As we're going into the restaurant, Mike Shea, who's the head of the House of David there in Brazil, I asked him, I said, Mike, have you had experiences like Davi? And he said, well, just a little bit. And I said, well, what can you tell me that would help me to begin to move in that arena? And he said, Romans 6:13. And I said, oh, Romans 6:13. What does that say? And he said, well, basically it says, do not present the members of your body as instruments of sin and unrighteousness, but present the members of your body as instruments to God for righteousness, for holiness. And I thought, what does that have to do with what I asked? And he said, well, a whole lot. He said, when you're talking about the members of your body, he said, focus primarily on your five physical senses. Your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and hands. And when he said that, I thought, oh yeah, you know, that's right. Because, you know, our five senses are the entry and access points for the works of the enemy in our lives. Right? But they're also the entry and access points for the power and presence of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. And that's why Paul said, don't give over the members of your body as instruments to sin, but give them over to God as instruments of righteousness. We went back to the hotel that afternoon. I said, I'm going to do that. I got before God and I said, God, I give you my eyes. God, I want to see things from your perspective. I want to see in the realm of the Spirit. God, I give you my ears that I can hear your quiet whisper. God, I give you my mouth that I might speak your words. God, I give you my nose that I can smell your sweet fragrance. And God, I give you my hands that they might be used in touching others. God, I surrender all, just like what I was talking about with Dom. God, I surrender all. Everything. I give my whole person, spirit, soul, and body. I gave you my feet because I want to go, God, where you want me to go. I gave you my heart. God, I want your heart. I want your heart of love, your heart of compassion. I gave you my mind that I might have the mind of Christ. I gave it all up. Total surrender. We got in the meeting that night. The worship was just incredible. It was the most amazing worship I had ever experienced up to that point in my whole life. The presence of God was so strong I could hardly stand there. And God spoke to me. And he said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And my first reaction was, nah, I don't want to do that. You know, it's like, you know, you hear that. And it's kind of like, no, well, you know, that's okay. But, you know, besides, it was a dirty, dusty concrete floor. And I had on nice, clean socks. And I just didn't want to do it. I kept worshiping. And a few minutes later, God spoke again. And he said, take your shoes off. And I thought, whoa, I think that's God. I think I better do that. And I reached down and I took my shoes off. And thank God I did. Because what followed, I don't believe would have happened if I hadn't have taken my shoes off. How many of you know that God tests you in the small things before he will entrust greater things to you? We all want more. We all want more of God. But are we obedient in those small, little, seemingly insignificant things? So I took my shoes off in obedience, and thank God I did. Right after that, as I was standing there worshiping, and I opened my eyes, and up on the platform, I saw angels. There were dancers, worshipers that were dancing. It's just the most beautiful worship dance you've ever seen. And I saw angels around them. I looked above the worship team, and the whole area was full of angels. They were worshiping, they were singing, they were playing instruments. It was just full of joy. Well, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was taken back by it, and I thought, oh no, it's like, what is going on? You see, it was the thing I wanted, but when it happened, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what was happening. So I just began to cry out to God, God, whoa, I just want more of you. I just want more of you. And all of a sudden, I felt myself getting bigger and taller. And it was like I turned into a giant of a person. And I was looking down over the people worshiping God. And I thought, whoa, this is really cool. And then I kept getting bigger and I went up. I started going up. Now what was happening, my spirit was leaving my body. Okay? I was going up. And I went all the way up into the top of the tent. Now, this church met in a tent. It was a large tent that seated 3,000 people. And I went all the way up in the top of the tent. And I was looking down over the people. And at that point, I started resisting the Lord. I got afraid. And I started coming back down. And I realized what had happened. And I said, oh, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Up is better. Up is better. And right then, instantly changed directions and started back up again. But this time, it was like Superman. I mean, right through the top of the tent, way up in the sky. And I was looking down over the city. I could see the top of the tent. It was glowing with the presence of God. And all of a sudden, a hole opened up in the top of the tent. I could see right through, and everybody worshiping God in there. Some of you may have trouble with me. You're saying my spirit was leaving my body. Well, you know, that happened to Paul. That happened to a lot of guys in the Bible. Ezekiel, John. I mean, it was, you know, a common occurrence, if you will. You know, Paul said, well, they're in the body or out of the body. I don't know. You know, but he talked about going to the third heaven. And he saw things that he couldn't even talk about. Well, you know, the reason he didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body is because it's so real. You're there. You have no awareness of your physical surroundings around your physical body. You're gone. You are there. God is taking you someplace. He is taking you into the heavens. And that's what happened. So I was up there. And I was seeing all of this. And again, see, this is the very thing I was crying out for. But when it happened, it scared me. I was afraid of it. It was like I wanted it, but another part. But see, I was raised in the Baptist church. I was taught against all of this stuff. You know, I didn't believe in any of it years ago. And so there was that element of fear and resistance in me. And again, so I started coming back down. And I realized on the way down that God will take us as far as we're willing to go with Him. I was the one that put the ceiling on how far I went. It wasn't God. I was the one, you know, that I was the bottleneck. I was the problem. It was like I just kind of drew a line. God, you know, I'll get this close to you, but I don't want to get any closer. And in reality, though, I wanted to go to the throne room, but I was scared. And so I came all back down, and I was crying out, oh, God, forgive me, because I knew I blew it big time. I came back down just inside the tent, and I said, God, forgive me, God, forgive me. I just want more of you. I just want more of you. And I raised my hands to the Lord. My arms went way up into the sky, just like a mile high up in the sky. And I was looking up like that. And as I was looking up, I saw Jesus coming down. And He had His hands extended like this. And He came all the way down and He took me by the hands. And I was completely overcome by His presence. He held my hands real tight as if to say, I'm not going to let you go. All of a sudden, my left hand just started to burn. It was just a little spot in the beginning, but then it grew bigger and bigger and bigger until the whole palm of my hand was on fire. I didn't think I could take it any longer. It was like my hand was going to melt. And then He let go of me. And my spirit came back into my body. My body was still there on the floor just like it was when I left. But when my spirit came back in, because my spirit, having been in the presence of the Lord, was so full of the presence of God, that when it came back into my body could not contain the presence of God that was resident in my spirit. It was like I exploded. I mean, I just went flying backward. And I hit the chairs scattered, I hit that concrete floor. Nobody caught me, but it was like I landed on a bed of feathers. I didn't feel anything. And I was laying on the floor, I was crying out, God, I don't understand all this stuff, but I just want more of you. God, I want more of you. I felt so little and so insignificant in the presence of Almighty God. It was one of the most amazing things. Well, I could hardly stand up. I could hardly walk. I could hardly talk. All I could do was cry. And this went on for actually 2 or 3 days. The next day before the meeting, I got in and sat down on the third chair, like right there. And Davi came in and he sat down on the first chair. And nobody was in between us. And He reached His hand over and He put it on my shoulder. And when He did, it was just like a bolt of lightning hit me. It was like the power of God just surged through my body. And I fell over but on that empty chair between us just like a dead man. I mean, it trapped my arm, under my body like that. The team members around me said I looked really uncomfortable. So they picked me up and they put me on the floor. And I was on the floor crying out, God, what is going on? I mean, I was totally wasted from the night before. And now there was more of this stuff happening. And I thought, my, I can't take all this. Well, I was laying there for a long time. Finally, the worship had started. At one point, I opened my eyes to look up on the platform for the worship team. And as I opened my eyes, I just saw them briefly. But then all of a sudden, everything changed. I wasn't there. I saw a pathway. And some gold steps and like a platform, more gold steps, another platform, and then on top of that, I saw a big throne, Everything was gold all the way around. It was like it all just blended in with each other. It wasn't like there was a beginning or a stopping point. It was just all, it was the most incredible thing. I saw this throne up there, but I didn't see anybody sitting on the throne. But to the right-hand side of that throne, I saw Jesus. And he was standing there just like this. And he was holding a scepter in his hand. And from the waist up, the radiance and glory of God was coming from him. And it was so bright that it was overwhelming. I couldn't handle it. It was a brightness that completely overwhelmed me and permeated my being. And I thought, oh man, you know, I honestly felt like I was going to die. In fact, I thought, maybe I have died and gone to heaven. I mean, it was like, this is it. This is it. And so there I was. Well, then, boom, it stopped instantly. I came back into my body. And right when I did, on the floor, I was just writhing in agony. I had the look of terror on my face. I was screaming, but no sound was coming out of my mouth. My wife saw me there, and she was really worried. She told the other team members, you know, do something, help him. One of them grabbed her and just turned around and said, don't look at him, he's okay. Like that. Well, see, what they didn't know was going on with me, why I had the look of terror, why I was screaming like that, was because I was so acutely aware of my sinfulness in the presence of a holy God that it brought terror to me. And I was crying out, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, forgive me. I just want more of you. I just want more of you, more of your presence. Well, I ended up on the floor for a long time, an hour and a half or whatever it was. I don't even remember. It was a long, long time. Again, I couldn't get up. I couldn't walk. I could hardly talk. I couldn't do anything. The next day we went to Rio de Janeiro and we were ministering in a church there. And they invited me to go back to pray for this man who was dying of brain cancer. They had performed surgery on him. They said there's nothing more they can do. They sewed him up. They sent him home to die. So I went back there with some of the other team members and we began to pray for this man. And as we were praying for him, to my right, I saw a large angel's wings coming out around the man like that. And I looked at that again. And on the other side of that angel was a smaller angel. This angel was blowing fire into the man's head. And I couldn't believe it. I looked at that again. It looked like a blowtorch of fire going from that angel right into the man's head. So I stopped. I thought I was losing my mind, to be honest with you. I stopped and I said, excuse me, is anything happening to you right now? Do you feel anything? And he said, oh yes, my head, it's hot, my head, it's burning out, my head's on fire. I said, well, duh. And then he said, I'm healed. And I said, well, praise God. I want you to go back to the doctor and have the doctor to confirm the healing. He said, I don't have to. I'm healed. I know I'm healed. I said, well, I believe you're healed too, but I still want you to go back to the doctor, have him to confirm it, get it in writing. He said, okay, I will. Well, just a couple of minutes later, this man and his wife, both with tears streaming down their cheeks, invited Jesus Christ into their lives. It was a beautiful thing to see. He was hesitant in the beginning to receive the Lord there because he thought that if he got saved there, that he would have to go to that church. Interesting. He had relatives that went there, and he didn't want to go to that church. I said, no. I said, you give your heart to Jesus right now. I said, you go to a good Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. He said, oh, okay. And then he gave his life to Jesus. It was an amazing thing to see. You see, that was a beginning point. That was a turning point. That was the first time I ever saw an angel involved in the healing process. You know, in John chapter 5, we read the story about the pool of Bethesda, where people would wait for the stirring of the water, and an angel would come and stir the water, and first one in to get healed. Well, in that passage, we see the work of an angel producing healing for those who stepped into the water. And since that time, we have seen hundreds, if not thousands, of times where angels were involved in the healing process. I believe even tonight, God's going to release healing angels, and some of you are going to receive healing tonight.
Amen.
We have people come up all the time to testify about being touched by an angel, and they know that that's what's happened. We've had people said they felt the hand of an angel go in and pull a tumor out of their body. I'm talking grapefruit-sized tumor, completely disappeared, gone.
Amen.
Instantly. We were ministering in Korea, and there was a lady that had suffered from a sciatica pain and nerve damage, her hip down her leg, numbness and tingling and everything, and pain. And it was so difficult for her because she couldn't get comfortable in any position. It was difficult for her sitting, it was difficult for her standing. And while she was there, we started into ministry time, and she felt the hand of an angel on her hips, on her hip, like this, and twisted her around. She felt the hands lift off. She came back around, and instantly she was totally healed. All the pain, tingling, everything stopped. She had total mobility, total freedom. It was amazing. One of our meetings, a pastor was suffering with bronchitis. It was a very serious condition. And during ministry time, he said he felt the hands of an angel go into his lungs and pull the bronchitis out. And he was totally, instantly healed. We were ministering in one place. It was a large church, and they had a video projector hanging from the ceiling. And I saw angels circling around the video projector. And all of a sudden, one of them broke out and went way in the back corner of the church. And I couldn't even see the person that angel went to. I could see exactly the area, probably within, you know, 5 or 6 people. So I pointed back there. I said, somebody just got healed right there. And I pointed right at them in that area. This lady jumped up and she ran down front. She said, I have been blind for 10 years in my left eye. And she said, instantly, my eye is totally healed. I can see perfectly. That's what we're talking about, folks. That's the power and presence of God. When the power of the Lord is present, anything can happen. He releases His angels. You know, some of you may struggle with that concept. If you have your Bible in Psalm 103, I don't want to spill my water here. Yeah, that'll hold it there. That's good. Okay. In Psalm 103, beginning in verse about 20. Psalm 103, verse 20, says, this is concerning angels. Well, let's read 19. We'll just... The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Okay? That's over the angels as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 20, bless the Lord, you His angels. They love to worship God. And just like tonight, just the sweet worship, the presence of God was all over the place. I saw a warrior angel standing right here by the fireplace, and one was back there in the corner where that little thing is up in the corner of the wall up there, a large warrior angel. And there were angels that were circling around. And at one point, as the worship it really picked up, they started going faster. It was like a merry-go-round, and they just kept going faster and faster and faster like that. And you know, I've learned when I've seen that, I've seen them do it that way, and I've seen them zigzag across like that. They're clearing the air. They're opening the heavens. And that's what's happening. See, they love to worship the Lord, okay? And so they're drawn to worship. And that's why so many things can happen during worship time as you open up your spirit and your heart to the Lord, where you're not just, you know, reading songs off of a book or off of a screen or whatever, but you're pouring your heart out in adoration to the Father. It releases the presence of God in your life and in the whole room. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength. They're strong. I've seen a small warrior angel wipe out a big demon. No contest at all. They're mighty in strength, who perform His word. They do the word of the Lord. And you know, Psalm 107, verse 20 says, He sent His word and
healed them.
He sent His word and He healed them. And angels perform
His word.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. They're not like us. They do what He says. Verse 21. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you who serve Him, they serve Him, doing His will. His will. They do the will of the Father. They do the bidding of the Holy Spirit. That's what they do. They do what God says. I don't command an angel to do anything. I don't even ask an angel to do anything. I ask the Father to release an angel to do, because they do what He says to do. Okay? You got that?
Yeah.
Okay. They do His will. What is His will? Sozo. What is sozo? Salvation.
Healing, deliverance.
What is it? So it's to be saved, healed, delivered, set free. It's a complete package deal. Okay?
Amen.
And that's what they do. They do His will. Right? Okay. So, we've seen them perform incredible miracles. We are ministering in Ghana, Africa. And it was an outdoor meeting. And we parked the bus over here near the platform. And it was difficult for me to preach because I kept looking over the bus. On top of the bus, it was full of angels. They were standing there, and some were sitting on the top of the bus with their legs dangling off the side. And I kept looking over there, and I was trying to figure out, what is that all about, and what am I supposed to do about that? Well, then the Spirit of God began to just, I got that impression, okay? I had the team come over to the bus. And so I did. I said, team, ministry team, come on over to the bus. They all got up. They went over by the bus. And I told everybody, I said, if you're blind, deaf, or have a terminal illness, I want you to come over by the bus. The ministry team's going to pray for you. And so I told the team, I said, team, as soon as they come up and as you start praying for them, as soon as the first person is healed, I said, bring them up and interrupt me. I want to get the testimony. Well, it was just it was almost impossible for me to preach now, because I was trying to preach, but I was trying to watch what was happening over here at the same time. And I looked over there, and immediately the angels started jumping off the bus down onto the people. Honestly, it wasn't a minute later that brought the first person up. He was about a 14-year-old boy. His name was Kwesi. And in that village, he was known as Kwesi the deaf boy. However, he's no longer Kwesi the deaf boy. See, he was born deaf and dumb, never heard, never spoke. And in front of all these people that knew him, he began to speak, and one of the first words out of his mouth was the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He demonstrated his hearing. He could hear and he could speak for the first time. It was amazing to see that. Well, that wasn't all that happened that night. Well, a long story short, there were 35 people that were blind or almost totally blind that were healed by the power of God. There were 22 people that were deaf or almost completely deaf that were healed by the power of God. And that last night, over 90% of the people were sovereignly healed. Nobody prayed for them. God visited the place. There was so much angelic activity all over. I didn't even believe. It was difficult for me to believe. I had to check 3 times to make sure that that was right. And yes, it was. I was excited about that. But I long for the day when it's 100%.
Come on.
That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. See, I'm never content. Spiritually speaking, I am never content. There's always more. I've experienced a lot, but I feel like I've just kind of cracked the door open just a little teeny bit. There's so much. The world of the Spirit is so real. It's so vast. It's bigger and it's far more vast than the natural physical world that we live in. There's no comparison. You see, all this stuff, the natural physical world, is created out of the unseen realm.
Yeah.
See, this is just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
So there's so much. There's so much out there available to every one of us. Yeah. You see, right now this room is full of angels. Every one of you have at least one angel assigned to you. Some of you have more than one, because you need more than one. Some of your angels are putting in for an assignment change, though. Because they're bored. You're not giving them anything to do. You see, when you're doing the works of Jesus, when you are fulfilling the call of God on your life, as you start to walk in the destiny God has for you, as you get out of your comfort zone and you begin moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, your angel is activated at that point. And I got a scripture. I'll read that to you just a little later on. Okay? Your angel wants to stay busy.
Come on.
Give him stuff to do. Start doing the works of Jesus. Do the will of God. Do the Word of God.
Amen.
Live the Word of God.
Right.
And your life will be radically changed forever and ever. The day is soon coming when it's going to be commonplace experiencing the manifestation of angels, the ministry of angels, having angelic visitations and encounters. The day is soon coming when it's going to be just normal in the church. Okay? You see, all this stuff that we're talking about is the normal Christian life.
Right.
It is. You know, the stuff I was taught that was the normal Christian life, that ain't it. No, it ain't it. What we're talking about, this is the normal. Have you ever read the Bible? I'm serious. If you listen. When I was raised in a Baptist church, and we said we believe the Bible from cover to cover, right? We didn't have a clue what was between the covers. We didn't. And you know what we'd do? We would pick and choose. You know, we'd that's not for today. So we'd flip over those pages, and we'd read this. We're like, well, that was just history. You know, that didn't have anything to do with us today. You know, and that's what we'd do. If go through the Bible, and I want you to tear out every page that has the supernatural, has miracles, has healings, has the gifts in operation. You know, I'm telling you, and see how many pages you've got left. It becomes a very little bitty book. Okay? The book is full of it from cover to cover. We can't deny it. We need to participate in it, partake of it, and live it where it becomes a normal, everyday experience for us. You got it? You believe that?
Yeah.
Have you read the story of when Peter was in prison? Okay. I'm gonna give you my rendition of the story. Peter's in prison. Okay. They've got him all chained up. Over here, prayer's going on for him over in this house, right? You know what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 12. Okay. So they're praying, oh God, get Peter out of prison. God, get Peter out of prison. They're real intercessors, okay? God, get Peter out of prison. God, get Peter. So here's God. You know, he's up in heaven and, you know, he's really impressed. I mean, he's really blessed, you know, because the church is praying for Peter to get him out of prison. So, you know, God sees an angel standing over there not doing anything. So he says, hey, come here. And the angel comes over and he says, look, he said, you know, the church is praying. You know, it's coming up as a sweet incense to me. And I want to answer that prayer right now. I want you to go down and get Peter out of prison. They do what he says. They obey. Okay, so the angel walks in, kicks Peter in the side. The chains fall off his hands, fall off his feet. He gets up, grabs his coat. The angel says, let's go. They walk by the guards. The guards don't see him. They walk to the prison door. It opens by itself. They walk out. Peter goes over to the house where they're praying for him. He knocks on the door. Rhoda comes to the door. She gets so excited. She hears his voice in the door. She didn't even open the door. She runs back in. Guess what? Peter's here. And listen, these guys were intercessors. They were believing. I mean, they had great faith. Okay, they were really crying out to God. And you know what their response was? Don't bother us, woman. That's not Peter out there. That's just his angel. That's what they said. Read it. Listen, the point is, it was easier for them to believe that it was Peter's angel at the door than it was that God got Peter out of prison. Now stop and think about that. If you were in that prayer meeting and somebody said, there's an angel at the door, there'll be a stampede for the door. We break the door down because we all want to see this angel, right? Why is that? Because it's not normal. It's not commonplace for us today. But it's becoming that just like it was then. It was so ordinary. That's not even worth getting up. No, that's not even Peter. That's just his angel. That's all that is. Well, just as Peter had an angel, you got one too. Do you know that?
Hallelujah.
The Bible talks about the children's their angels beholding the Father in heaven. Their T-H-E-I-R, possessive, it's ownership, right? Psalm 91. He'll give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. That's where we get the term guardian angel. You know, there's so much in the scriptures. Over in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 14. Hebrews 1:14. Speaking of angels. In fact, read this because it's really cool. Almost the whole chapter is about angels. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? You see, the servants, they're sent to help us in time of need. You know, they minister to us, they protect us, they co-labor with us. They're involved in so many different capacities in our lives as we're serving the Lord. And it's amazing. It's amazing when we can come to grips with the reality of their ministry in our lives and how we can work together with them. You see, when you cooperate with what you see the angels doing, that's what brings heaven to earth. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. And when we can see what's going on in the spirit realm and we cooperate with that and we do what we see the Father doing, that opens the heavens. That releases heaven right here on the earth. So it's critical that we cooperate with the angel. We were ministering at a conference and Kathy, my wife, saw an angel behind this man, and so she walked back to him. And as she got close to the angel was blowing on the man's head three times, like that. And so she looked, and she went around behind, because she knew that Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. So she said, well, I'm going to do what I see this angel do, because that's what God was doing, because the angel is doing what God says do, right? Amen. So it's the equivalent of seeing what God is doing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she walked around behind this man, and she goes, and the power of God hit him. Bam! He goes down. He's out for a long time. Kathy hung around to wait to see what happened when the guy gets up, okay? So the guy comes to, he gets up, and he says, Kathy said, well, you know, what happened to you? And he said, a couple of years ago, he had electric shock treatments, and it scrambled his brain. He lost his personhood. He did not have the ability to focus clearly with his mind at all. It was just like his thoughts weren't even his thoughts. It was like they were just crazy stuff going on all the time in his head. And he said, when you blew on my head three times, he said, the power of God hit me, rewired my brain. I got my personhood back. I can think clearly. I can focus for the first time. And it was an amazing thing to see. She didn't have any idea what was wrong with him, didn't know anything about the man, didn't know what God was doing. She only did what she saw the angel do. That released heaven on earth, and he got healed as a result of that. See, so there's a practical aspect to all of this. It's not just something that's self-serving. It's not something I'm more spiritual than you because, you know, I've seen angels. It's none of that. Forget all of that stuff. No, it's to help us to move into the deeper things of the Spirit of God in ministry to others and giving out to others. Okay? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. I love this verse. And you will too after you understand it. Okay. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, what did that just say? Look at that. Look at it again. Look at it again. Okay, well, I'm going to read it one more time. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you know what that says? It says, don't look at things you can see. Look at things you cannot see. Is that what it says?
Yes. Yes.
That's what it says. What does that mean? How on earth do you do that? What do you mean, look at things I can't see? And don't look at things I can see. It's crazy, right? What's he talking about? Our focus is so much on the natural physical world that we're just looking in the natural physical realm all the time. He's saying, look beyond that into the area that you cannot see with your natural eyes in the natural physical world. Look beyond that into the supernatural realm of the spirit, because that's eternal. All this stuff that you can see around here, it's temporary. It's all going one of these days, okay? However, the kingdom, the supernatural realm of the spirit is eternal. It's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he's saying, let's keep our focus on what's going on in the spirit realm. Let's keep our focus on what's going on in the kingdom, in the heavens. Let's not be so focused on the right here, on the physical, seeing things from the natural perspective. But let's look beyond that and let's see what God is doing in the circumstances. A lot of you have had angelic visitations. You've had encounters with angels, but you didn't know it. In Hebrews 13:2, it says that we entertain angels unaware. We entertain angels without even being aware of it, knowing that that's what it is. That's what they are. Have you been in circumstances where somebody just came up, unknown to you, all of a sudden, and they're there, and they help you out, they assist you in some way. They take care of something, or it's just like out of nowhere, they appear, and then they just leave. And you think, wow, that sure was nice of them. How many of you have had an experience like that? Okay, that's most of you. Well, what do you suppose that was? That's happened to Kathy and I several times. On one occasion, the angel got out of our car, helped us out of a real difficult situation, and helping us get another tire for the car, and the angel got out of the car and instantly disappeared. I mean, but he was in human form, just like, you or I, just like we see each other, right? He got it, and he instantly disappeared. I mean, Kathy looked down and see if he was hiding beside the car or whatever. He was nowhere. Instantly disappeared. See? In fact, we had an angel right here, and this was several years ago, in the underground. A guy just came up, just started talking to us, helped us. We had our suitcases and everything, get a bunch of steps you got to go up and down, all that stuff, and he just, here, I'll carry it up, and he showed us, and he said, oh, well, I'm going, that's not where I'm going, but I'll go there. And so he stayed with us all the way to the station where we got off, and he helped us and went up, and he told us where we were going and pointed and all this kind of stuff, and turned around and walked off. It was an angel. Don't think lightly of that. You've had angelic visitations, you've had angelic encounters, but you just weren't aware of it. How many of you, during times of worship, and usually it happens during times of worship, because like I said, that's when there's so much angelic activity, and you're standing there worshiping God, and all of a sudden you feel a hand on your head, or on your shoulder, or on your back, and you turn, and nobody's there. How many of you have had that happen to you? Raise your hand. Okay, just look at that. Okay, put your hand down. You're standing there worshiping God, and all of a sudden you feel a gust of wind blow by, like somebody just ran by you or something. You open your eyes and there's nobody there. Raise your hand. Okay, look at this. Put your hands down. You're standing there worshiping God, and all of a sudden you feel heat coming down over you. You just start getting hot, and certain parts of your body just begin to burn, and it's not a hot flash. Okay, put your hand down. The first thought that came to your mind was, that was weird. I must have just imagined that. I must have been, that can't be real. What's happening? Right? Right? Yeah. Right. Say yes.
Yes.
Yes, because that's right. What was the first thought that came to your mind the first time you spoke in tongues? What was the first thoughts that came to your mind?
Oh,
Talk
weird.
To me.
It's weird.
Weird. I'm just making it up.
Yeah.
That's not God. Right? Huh? Is that... Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, why did you instantly have that thought? You know, this is stupid, this done, this is, you know...
Natural.
It's just me. Huh?
It's unnatural.
Yeah. Yeah. The devil is trying to talk you out of the experience that you just had with the Lord. Because the devil knows the Bible. The Bible says that when you're speaking in tongues, you're not speaking to men, but to God. Yeah. And when you're speaking in tongues, you're edifying yourself. You're charging your spiritual battery.
Yeah.
And the devil doesn't want you doing that because he knows that when you do that, he loses his grip over your life.
Yes. That's right.
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
So he tries to talk you out of that right away before it has time to really take root. The same thing in the supernatural realm of the Spirit. The same thing with the manifestation of angels. These encounters that we have. The first thing, it's the same thing. Well, that was weird. You know, I must have just imagined. That didn't really happen. It's like I'm losing my mind or I've gone crazy or, you know, whatever, right? Because the devil doesn't want you to come to grips with what's happening in your life in the supernatural realm of the Spirit all around you. So we're going to break all that stuff off of you. We're going to be free from all of that, all the lies of the enemy, and we're going to participate and partake of the deep things of the Spirit of God and be launched into what God is calling us
to
do, knowing that we're not alone.
Come on.
You are not alone. Okay?
Jesus.
It's so important. You know, there are times where your life is falling apart and the day is not going right at all, but you've had a sensitivity to the Spirit, you've had some, you know, time with the Lord and all of that, and you're just standing there just in a big mess, and all of a sudden you feel that touch or that wind or that heat, and you think, whoa. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm not alone. And then you begin to see your circumstances from God's perspective rather than through your own natural eye. And you see everything totally differently. And all of a sudden, the peace of God comes over you and like, hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. See? Now, that's really practical. So I want you to train your senses to discern the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the angels of the Lord. Give your eyes to Him. Give your ears to Him. Give your mouth to Him. Get your nose. Give your nose to Him. Give your hands, your heart, your feet, your mind.
Yeah.
Surrender everything totally to Him.
Yeah.
You say, well, how do you know those are angels that are doing all that stuff? Well, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, we'll go back to Hebrews 1. We're just about to wind down here. We're going to start ministering. We'll pray with you in just a minute. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. And of the angels, He says, who makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire. Wind and fire. Mm-hmm. Got it? What happened on the day of Pentecost? Wind and fire. Do you think there's a lot of angelic activity in that upper room? I don't think so. Okay? Now, I want to... last verse, I think. Revelation 22, verse 8. In talking about angels like this, a lot of times people misunderstand. I want to tell you, we do not worship angels. We worship God.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 8. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren the prophets and of those who heed the words of this book, worship God. We don't worship angels. We don't build memorials to angels. We don't build shrines to angels. We worship God and Him alone. And this angel made it very clear. Hey, John, don't do that. You got this all wrong. Don't worship me. Worship God and Him alone. What did the angel say? He said, don't do that. I am a fellow servant of yours. I co-labor with you.
Yeah.
And your brethren, the prophets. And those who do the words of this book. Worship God. That's you. There's the scripture right there. When you're doing the will of God, you're doing the word of God, you're doing the works of Jesus, your angel is activated. He just said it. I'm a fellow servant of yours. And those who do the words of this book, worship God. Worship God. We don't worship angels. They're ministering spirits. God came up with the idea of angels. The New Age did not invent angels.
Amen.
Okay? It's okay. They're okay. We welcome. We welcome them.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to pray with you in just a moment, but I want to tell you, 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha and the servant were standing there, and the servant came up and he said, Elisha, we're in big trouble. The enemies come, they surrounded the city, and they're coming after you. We're dead. It's all over with. I mean, this is the end of the line. And Elisha looked at the servant and he said, that's no big deal. There's more with us than there are with them. And I can see the servant scratching his head. And he's saying, Elisha, you've lost your marbles. One and one is two. There's two of us. What do you mean there's more with us than there are with them? And then Elisha prayed a prayer. He said, Oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he might see. And instantly God opened his eyes and he saw the chariots of fire.
Hallelujah.
He saw the armies of the Lord. He saw the heavenly host surrounding the enemy, far outnumbering the enemy. They were there all the time. Mm-hmm. Two people in the same circumstance saw it from two different perspectives.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The servant was full of fear. We're dead. This is it. It's all over with, because he was looking with a natural eye. Elisha looked beyond the natural into the realm of the spirit. He was full of faith, confidence. He was cool as a cucumber. That's what we say in the South. Cool, and that's really cool. Okay? He was no sweat. I mean, he was okay because he saw in the spirit realm that God released his army that was going to deal with the enemy. Now, so many times, the circumstances in our lives seem overwhelming. But when we can look beyond that, into the realm of the Spirit, and see what God's doing, it changes our perspective.
Yeah.
We move instantly from fear to faith.
Yeah, that's right.
Total trust, total confidence in the Lord.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is, it's all very practical. Like I said before, it's not self-serving. Okay? But it's to assist you in doing what God has called you to do.
Yeah.
Now, in a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to open your eyes to see. We're going to pray a prayer just like Elisha prayed for his servant. We're also going to ask the Lord to release your angel to mess with you. To touch you in some way. That you feel the touch. You feel the wind. You feel the heat. Sometimes your angel will poke you, you know, it's like, boom, you know, like that, or twist you, or, you know what I'm saying? A lot of you have had that happen to you. That's an angelic, that's a manifestation of an angel. That's what that is. Like the guy, you know, conducting the orchestra. See, what was he doing? That was an angel. When his eyes were open and he saw, oh, that's what's going on. So you got it?
Amen.
Oh!
Okay. Some of you are going to see in the Spirit right away. Some of you have been seeing. Most of you, I'll say most of you are already seeing in the Spirit. Most all of you are. You've had visions. You've had dreams. You know, if you read the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 4, chapter 7, chapter 8, all through there. I'm serious. You know, when you read about all these stories, Jacob, Genesis 28, he saw the ladder, angels ascending and descending. You know, all of that stuff. Did he see those angels? Did he see the heavens open? Did he see the ladder come down out of heaven? Did he see all that stuff? Was it real?
Yes.
Was it legitimate?
Yes.
Was it a real supernatural encounter in the spirit realm?
Yes.
Was it?
Yeah.
Does everybody agree?
Yes.
But it says it was a dream. Listen, God brings the revelation through dreams and visions. I used to think, you know, old men dream dreams, young men dream visions, you know, and I was thinking, well, you know, what a bummer, you know, I only get to dream and, you know, what's the difference between a dream and a vision? Nothing. A dream is in the night. A dream is a vision of the night. That's all it is. Those visions that you have and those dreams of angelic visitations, of going into the heavens, when God takes you, those are real, legitimate, supernatural encounters with God, with angels, with Jesus, just like Daniel did, just like Jacob did.
Christ.
Read the Bible. There is no difference at all. You have seen stuff, but you don't acknowledge it. You won't recognize it.
Christ.
In your own time with the Lord, all of a sudden you'll just begin to picture things. And you think, well, that's just my imagination. Right? That's what you think. It is your sanctified imagination. It is the presence of God. God gave you the imagination for
purpose. That's right.
Now, Satan comes in and he tries to steal it. He tries to use it, you know, putting all the bad stuff in. Just like a television set. You know, a television set's neither good or bad of its own. It depends on what channel you put it
Amen.
On. It's the same thing with your imagination,
that's
with your
right.
spirit. Okay? We whatever direction we focus ourselves into, that's what we get, and
that's
what we
right.
partake of. You see, we're a portal, we're a doorway to the supernatural realm. When you can open up to the Spirit of God and He can flow through you and you can change the environment around you, or you can yield to the enemy the same way and see all the negative garbage and junk trailing you and affecting other people. See, we have that choice.
Mm.
But we need the discerning of spirits to know which is which.
Hallelujah.
Some of us have been walking in deception far too long.
Come on.
How do you know when you're deceived?
You don't.
You don't. That's what deception is. If you knew you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived.
Jesus.
When you're deceived, you're believing a lie as though it were true.
Yeah.
That's what deception
That's
is.
Right.
That's what it is.
Good word.
God, release the discerning of spirits, I pray, on every person in here. In the name of Jesus, we call them forth now, Lord, to discern that which is of you and which is of the devil. Lord, light, dark, angels, demons. In the name of Jesus, God, release that now, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. God, we invite your presence more. We're desperate for more of you. God, open the heavens over this place. Let there be a release of your presence. God, I pray that you touch each person in here in a very special way. Just quietly, let's just all stand up. Stay in that attitude of seeking the face of God. Focus all your attention on the presence of God. Father, we invite your spirit to come. I want you to just relax. It's easier to receive when you just relax. Just relax yourself. Just take a deep breath. Just enter into a place of peace, a place of rest. Just respond as the Spirit of God would come upon you. Just go with the flow. God, we welcome you. We welcome you, O God. We say, have your way in our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you our eyes that we might see from your perspective, that we might see into the realm of the Spirit. God, we give you our ears that we can hear your quiet whisper, your voice. God, we give you our mouth that we might speak your words. We give you our nose that we can smell your sweet fragrance. Oh God, come and fill this room with your fragrance, your presence. Speak to us, oh God, that we can hear your voice. God, we give you our hands that they touch nothing unclean but only what you're touching. To be your hands extended. In the name of Jesus, we give you our feet, oh God. We determine right now that we'll only go where you go. We're going to follow you. God, if you say go, I'll go. If you say wait, I'll wait. If you say step out on the water, and everybody else says that can't be done, God, I'm going to keep my eyes on you, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to step out of that boat. I'm going to follow you, oh God. I give you my heart, Lord, that I might have your heart, a heart of love, a heart of compassion. I give you my mind. You know, the battlefield is right there. God, I give you my mind, that I might have the mind of Christ operating in me, that I can begin to think like you, walk like you, talk like you, in the name of Jesus. God, release your glory, release your presence in the name of Jesus. Father, let there be a transference of that anointing now to see in the realm of the Spirit. Oh Lord, I pray, open their eyes that they might see. That they might see beyond this natural physical world into the supernatural realm of the Spirit. Lord, pull back the veil. And let them behold you as you really are. Father, remove the scales from the eyes of their spirit, I pray. Thank you, Father. Father, release visions, I pray. Dreams. Release revelation. Insight. Sight into the heavens. Sight into the supernatural realm of the Spirit. Oh Lord, I pray, open their eyes that they might see. Now most of you are already seeing something, but it may be just real distant, maybe kind of foggy, cloudy, not real clear. Ask God to bring clarity. Ask God to bring it in clearer focus. If you feel your spirit going, if God's taking you somewhere, just go with it. Don't resist. Don't hold back. Just yield. Just go with the Spirit. Now, we're asking for the Spirit. If we ask for bread, He's not going to give us a stone. If we ask for the Spirit, how much more are we going to get the Spirit? That's what we're asking for. Just release now. Just go with the flow. Just let God do what He wants to do. Yield to the Spirit of God. Just yield to Him now. Thank you, Father, for you, oh God. We're desperate for more. More of your presence, more of your fullness, your essence, your substance. Come and fill us up, oh God, with more of you. Father, I ask you to release their angels now to minister to them, to touch them in some way. In the name of Jesus, Lord, if they can just really come to grips with the reality of the angelic hosts that are available in this room right now. In the name of Jesus. More, Lord. God, release your healing presence. Release your healing angels, I pray. In the name of Jesus. What's that? Just yield. Don't resist. Don't hold back. Just yield. Just go with whatever God's doing. It's okay. It's a safe place. Thank you. Let it come. God, we yield ourselves totally to you. Oh God, release angels to minister, to manifest to each person, I pray in Jesus' name. More, Lord. The heat, the wind, the touch. Release your healing presence, oh God. God's lighting a fire in many of you right now. His breath is into your life well. And you know it. You know it right now. The fire of God is coming into you. Is it just a little bitty flicker there, but is a big flame burning right now in your heart? You're being reignited, preparing for blast off. I just want to check real quick. How many of you have had an experience of the Lord, an encounter? You know, God's opened your eyes. You've seen something beyond the natural, physical world, even though it doesn't make sense. You're not exactly sure what it was or whatever. Just raise your hand real quick. I just want to see. Good. Good. How many of you felt a manifestation of an angel, either the heat, the wind, or the touch? Just raise your hand. I want to see. Good. How many of you felt like that God took you someplace? It was like he took you someplace and showed you something. Raise your hand. I want to see. Good. Wow, look at this. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We ask for more. How many of you specifically felt the heat? I know it's hot. Well, you know, Dom advertised a fireside chat. Well, that's a fire of God. That's a fire of God chat. Okay? Well, oftentimes the heat is manifested when healing is in process. About half the time, about half the people that are healed have a physical manifestation in the majority of those feel heat in their body. Now, you can be healed without feeling anything. It's not based on feeling. It's not based on any kind of a manifestation. God's a healer. He does it any way he wants to. But, Father, we ask now in the name of Jesus if your healing fire would be released. And we break the power of the enemy. I command every demon of sickness and disease to leave this place now, to leave these bodies in Jesus' name. I speak healing to you now. Be free. Be healed in Jesus' name. God, let your glory come. Let your glory come. I break the power of this afflicting spirit, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. I command pain to leave your body now, right now, in Jesus' name. You spirit of infirmity, I command you to lift off now. You go in Jesus' name. You weakness, you fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, I break your power, and I say go in Jesus' name. We breathe life into your body. Life. In the name of Jesus. Life. Life to every cell of your body. And I speak to your body and I say, body, respond to the living presence of God. Be healed. Come in alignment with the Word of God right now. Right now. Just as in heaven, right here on the earth, receive your healing. Let the power of God come. Focus on whatever condition it is. Listen, there's no condition known to man that God can't heal. Nothing is impossible with him. No matter what your condition is, no matter how long you've had it, no matter what the doctor said, none of that makes any difference. God's greater, God's bigger, God's more powerful, and God can heal you right now without anybody laying hands on you, without any organ music or anything. God can heal you right now, right where you are, because the power of the Lord is present to heal. So God, we receive it now. Let it come more, Lord. The stiffness in your joints right now be loosed in Jesus' name. Stiffness in your joints be loosed in Jesus' name. Kidney condition be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. TMJ, I don't know what y'all call it here, but jaw. Popping and cracking, stiffness in your jaw, difficulty opening wide without hurting and all that kind of stuff. Receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. Receive it now. Just start moving your jaw around. If that's you, just start moving it around. See if the popping and cracking has stopped. The pain is gone right now in the name of Jesus. Keep testing it. Keep testing it. Move your arms around. Move your leg. If your knees, start moving your knees. If it's your back, just start bend over. Just start doing things that were difficult for you to do before and see if you've been healed. We see so many times when people start doing what they couldn't do before, that's when they receive their healing. Because it's a step of faith. You're putting your faith into action to do something you couldn't do before. And sometimes God requires us to do that in order to receive healing. He put the nail on the guy's eyes, the blind man's eyes, told him to go wash at the pool of Siloam. He had to obey. He had to go do something in order to get his healing. Right? So move around, test. Test your hearing. Put your finger in your good ear, see if you can hear better out of the other. See, the presence of God is here right now. See if there's any improvement. Is the pain going? Is the pain less? If there's a tumor or a lump, check to see if it's gone. Has it shrunk right now? I'm serious. God's here. God's here. Follow through with all this stuff. Check yourself out. Check your body. Do whatever would cause pain before and see if you can do it pain-free. It's important to do that because, like I said, you can be healed. You don't know until after you leave here. You start doing something you couldn't do before, and all of a sudden you realize, whoa, I couldn't do this before without pain, but you're free. So in the name of Jesus, God, I ask your healing power to increase. Just let another wave of healing flow through this room now in Jesus' name. The sickness and disease will go, lift off, lift off, lift off, lift off now in Jesus' name. And I declare that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Receive it now. Receive it now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How many of you feel like the healing has started? It's like something is starting to happen. You may not be completely healed yet, but God's doing something. Would you just raise your hand? I want to see. Good. That's a lot. Father, I thank you for what you're doing, and I ask for more. God, I thank you that you've started the healing process. I ask you to bring it to completion right now. That these conditions go in Jesus' name. Back conditions go. God, I ask you to send your healing angels with organs, that you replace organs now in the name of Jesus. Defective organs. A new pancreas for that diabetic in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, let your power come. Let your glory come. Shoulder be healed right now. Just a stiffness. You can't raise your arm all the way up without pain. Just move your arm around right now. Receive your healing right now. It's there. It's there. Pain, go. Freedom. 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 Thank you, Father. Right now. Just test. Do whatever you got to do. Just stay active in this. It's really important. Keep testing yourself. You may see a little improvement. Keep testing. That is it better? Is it, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you now compared to where you were? More, Lord. God, we ask for 100%. We want that total healing now in Jesus' name. More. That's right. Just cry out to God. God, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Listen, God hears the cry of the desperate. I mean, if you really mean business, just begin to cry out. You say, well, I don't have enough faith. You don't have to have any faith. God's here. God can hear you just by His sovereign hand, apart from any faith at all. Some of you got great faith. You know tonight's your night. You're going to be there because of that faith. Right now, receive it in the name of Jesus. Be free. Sickness and disease go. I break the power of any cancerous cell in your body in Jesus' name. And I say, go right now. Leave. Father, I thank you that your word says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God, I pray for a purification of blood right now. That the very blood of Jesus would flow through the veins and purify and make whole. That blood conditions be healed. Heart conditions be healed in the name of Jesus right now. And esophagus be healed right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Pain, pressure, stiffness go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. More, oh God. More of you. Okay, test real good. Test real quick. Oh, because we're going to find out. We're going to find out here in just a minute. Do something you couldn't do. Twist, bend, jump. If you got asthma, get out and run around the building. Whatever it is. Do push-ups or sit-ups or, you know, knee bends. Whatever. Go ahead and test it. Test your hearing. Test your vision. Whatever it is. Check anything, everything. God can heal you of stuff. You're believing Him for one thing, but He may heal something else. So check in on that other stuff, too. Okay? You got it? You got it? Everybody test your body? Okay? Is the pain gone? Is it something happening? Are you healed? How many of you received healing tonight? God set you free. I want you to raise your hand. Just raise up real high. I want to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, way in the back. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, we bless you, oh Lord. We bless you. We thank you. Lord, I thank you that you're not through. I thank you that there's so much more healing. I thank you that you haven't run out of power. You haven't gotten tired. God, release your healing presence. We ask for more. We cry out for more. Keep testing us as you're going. Keep testing. Keep testing. More of your healing presence. I want to get a couple of you that have been healed. I want you to come and tell us what happened, because that will help to build the faith for others. When they see what God's done for you, it's critically important that we tell others what He's done for us. That releases faith in the room. That releases an anointing to see God do it again in somebody else's life. So a couple of you, come real quick. We don't want to rob anybody of a blessing. We want to give glory to God. A couple of you, come real quick. And all we want to know is what your condition was, how long you had it, and what just happened. Okay? Yes.
I've always had like cramp underneath the arch of my foot, especially if I've like pointed it or I've been walking around my feet a lot. I've had it since I was, I don't know, 12 or so. And
it was about 2 years ago.
I'm 26 now, so and anyway, the pain was really bad just then as you were praying and you were saying like test it, but it was still there, and then you like prayed again. And the pain went. So I like point my toes out.
So that's like how many years? 15 years?
Hallelujah.
Wow, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Tell us what the condition was, how long you had it, and what happened.
I've had a terrible pain in my right eye for quite a while, and I felt sort of a light piercing, and the pain's lifted, and it was very bright, sort of, you know, the heat you described as well came over me, and I feel much better.
Praise
that
God.
That pain's gone.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
It's a strained arm I've had, probably on and off. It would, would lose strength, but it was particularly hurting in the last probably 3-4 days, and now it's just really, feels really strong.
Praise God.
I damaged it by using it too much, and it became weaker. I had physio, and they didn't kind of build it the strong, but it feels really strong now. It feels like it's kind of just feels strength. I didn't feel any heat or anything, but it just felt strong.
Right. Yeah. So you don't necessarily have to feel anything, that's what I'm saying. You can be healed, you don't know until you start testing it, until you start doing something you couldn't do before. Come here, what happened to you? Here, now, I'm going to let you hold the microphone. Why don't you keep your teeth?
So he's been doing lots anyway, and he fixed my dancing. And strangely, a while ago he did that. And strangely, there's lots of stuff. I don't know what happened when I was 5, but he keeps fixing things that got broken when I was 5. So whatever happened. And he's just amazing. But I've had knee problems since I was about 12 or something. And so
can
it hurts. Sorry. So when I've been dancing in the spirit recently, it's been amazing. But it really starts to hurt by the end of it, and the pains have gone.
Thank you.
I also think the kidney word might have been for me as well. I've had an atrophic kidney since I was 5, which I only found out last year. They said what the root was, and that might also be me.
Wow, praise God. Well, get checked on that. You know, we're ministering in Brazil, and this girl came up for prayer, and she had both of her kidneys removed. She was living on dialysis. And she said, would you pray for me for new kidneys? Well, you know, you kind of... Listen, which is more difficult, for God to create brand new kidneys or heal a hangnail? Is there any difference?
No.
There's no difference. No. And so we started praying for her, and we could feel under our hand a new kidney forming. We could feel it moving all around. She felt it. She got all excited. The guy that was helping to interpret for me went back to the same church 1 year later and saw the girl and talked to her. She had one brand new kidney. I don't know if she got the other one or not, but God gave her a brand new kidney. She's totally off dialysis.
Wow.
Woo! Pray that for God did it for her, God can do it for you. That's a piece of cake.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Jesus.
Praise God. Somebody else want to testify?
I think, good.
Come on. I felt like there was a couple more of you needed to, just to glorify God.
What happened? I had a tennis player, and I had two operations on my meniscus over the last few years. That's to cut out some of the cartilage that's broken away. And I know that I did it again recently, and I was going to have an operation, and I just decided to wait. And I couldn't run on the beach in Spain in July. I ran along the beach, and it hurt so much I had to stop. And I have to really confess that I'm a little bit cynical when people move around in worship, and I apologize for that. But just now, I was running on the spot, and I just had no control over my body. Just no control at all. It was just like, what am I doing? You know, I'm running, and my knee is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow. Somebody else, one more. Let's get one more. Come on. Who has it? Okay, good. Come on, quickly. Good. What happened?
I got out of hospital a couple of months ago, and it sounds really minor, but the nurse basically took like an elephant needle and hit a nerve in my arm, and I've had like a really painful arm for the last 2 months, and can punch it now if you like, it's fine. Yeah. But I've been... it's fine. And, I mean, it's ridiculous, that's fine. And I've been having kidney stones since I was 18. And so I'm just, you know, well, it's not hurting right now, but I've just got, you know, big faith for that.
Yes,
well.
Amen.
Well, go check it out.
Do they catch on to that?
Yeah.
What?
Go check it out.
Go check it out. Yeah, they catch on to that.
Go
check it out.
That's how you check it out, by going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As you go, they were healed, right?
As you go, so right. You,
yeah.
That's right.
Go and check it out. Sorry, you said it. I'll say it again.
Okay, here's what I want to do. Some of you... right now, some of you, just put your hand down like that, just like you're going to give a gift, right now. Some of you, your hands are just really hot right now. You just, you know, the presence of God's coming on your hands. You feel it? It's not all of you, it's just a few of you. I just want to identify the ones that it is, okay? Raise your hand if you feel heat on your hand right now. Okay? Good. Okay, you are the ministry team. Okay? That's a healing anointing, and we're going to release you now to pray for one another. Others around you need healing. Maybe you didn't get what you came for tonight. We're going to be here, we're going to pray, we're going to press in for whatever it is. What is it, 9:48 now. Feel free to go anytime you want. If you want to stay around and you want prayer, come to one of these. Come to these that have been with us to the summits. Dom, Tim, any of these guys, okay? That's body ministry. We're going to release this stuff. Expect miracles to happen. Mm-hmm. Expect visions and dreams to increase. And expect revelation to increase. Expect angelic visitations in your dreams, in your visions, in reality, any time throughout the day. Respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Go to a new level of experiencing more of His presence. Walk in the destiny He has for you, and go and do the works of Jesus. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Nothing stop you. Okay? Now, those of you that your hands were hot, right? Stand up. Stand up right where you are. Okay. Now, if you're around them, it doesn't matter who prays for you, because God's the healer. And oftentimes, it's the most unsuspecting person that God uses. So, if you need healing, you haven't gotten what you needed so far tonight, or maybe you did get healing, but there's more, maybe you need a complete overhaul, I want you to go to one of these that's standing, and they're going to pray with you. Now, those of you that are going to pray, I want to instruct you real quick. Pray for them and stop, and then check. Just like what we did tonight. Have them test themselves. Say, is it better? If they say no, keep praying. If they say, it's just a little bit better, that means God's starting to do something. Keep praying, keep pressing in, go for total healing.
Yeah.
Got it? So interview them, talk to them in the process. Don't just close your eyes and just pray a long prayer and then quit. But just keep your eyes open. You can see what God's doing. Pray for them. Ask them questions after you pray. Just stop. Is there any improvement? Is anything happening? Okay? And then keep pressing in for it. God wants to release you to experience the power of God flowing through you to others. You are a conduit for the power and presence of God. He's the healer, you're not. So, and you leave the results up to Him. You don't get any glory if anybody's healed, nor is it your fault if they're not healed.
That's right.
You got it? Okay, you guys are awesome. It's been a great night. God is all over the place. So, you are now activated and released to minister to one another. So if you need prayer, grab one of these right now. Just stand up right where you are. Go to one of these. You see the ones that are standing. Go find them. Just go to, it doesn't matter, like I said, it doesn't matter who, because God's a healer. Just work around. If we need to pick up some chairs or whatever to make room, keep your hand up now that you're getting up. Those of you that are going to pray, keep your hand up until somebody comes to you for prayer. Okay? Keep your hand up. and go to people that have their hands raised for prayer and let them pray for you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Now Believe podcast. We'd love to see you at the Growing in the Supernatural course. For more details, please email talk@nowbelieve.com.